And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Adam Vingan dropping by at 7:30. We'll get into the Nashville Predators and the Stanley Cup playoffs with him. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. And we got a lot to discuss with PK, so looking forward to that as well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Tired and angry.
It's a tough game one for your Warriors. Did you stay up the whole time?
Yeah. I don't know why Steph decides to go into the paint and try to hit a floater when Anthony Davis is standing right there. But what can I complain about with Steph? I mean, if not for him, it's not even close.
Steph, be better. You got to be better.
Yeah, come on, Steph. Make every play perfect. Come on.
Lakers win.
Lakers are tough, man.
Yeah, they are. Lakers win 117 to 112 last night. They take a 1-0 series lead in that series. So, you know, Lakers get a few days off, and Golden State basically goes right into it there. But that is an impressive win on the road for the Lakers in game one. Anthony Davis, 30 points last night. LeBron with 22 points and 11 rebounds. And Dennis Schroeder with 19 off the bench as well. So a good start in the series for the Lakers. And as you said, Joe, Golden State with an opportunity last night. Klay Thompson didn't shoot particularly well last night, 9 of 25 from the field. He did have 25 points last night. But I think a lot of people thought the Lakers would win game one. And I've seen a whole lot of, not just here at our station, but like around the NBA world, of Lakers win game one, Golden State wins the series talk. So maybe it's right on schedule, Joe. We'll see.
We'll see. But LeBron's able to stand around and let D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves do a lot of offense.
Yeah.
And they're tough to deal with. And that's a nice – I mean, in a lot of games, he's just basically kind of like a spot-up shooter, just kind of letting people – you know, which is great. Then when he wants to really take over, you know, he still can. Man, it's amazing that at one trading deadline, you completely basically change your team other than your two stars, yeah. And it's perfect, you know?
Works really well. So Lakers take a 1-0 series lead in that one. The Knicks even things up last night, 111-105 against the Miami Heat. I'm not worried. Jimmy didn't play last night, Joe, and it was still a good game. So I'm not worried about it moving forward. Only thing I'm worried about is Jimmy's ankle. Needs to get that thing better.
Yeah, that was fun to watch the Garden – and every single celebrity that lives in New York yes. cheering on the Knicks.
Aaron Rodgers was there. Big New York sports fan now.
Yeah. I mean, half the Jets team was there, you know. But I'm with you. I mean, no Butler, and they still were right there after winning the game one. Man, the Heat. Whew.
Looking good. We'll see how that goes if Jimmy Butler can play. And he rolled his ankle in game one. He played through it and apparently wanted to play last night, and the medical staff shut that down. But we'll see if he's ready to go in game three and what a difference that makes. Stanley Cup playoffs last night. The Florida Panthers go on the road, and they take down the mighty Toronto Maple Leafs 4-2 last night. So the Panthers up 1-0 in that series. And the Seattle Kraken go on the road and take down Dallas 5-4 in overtime. Joe Pavelski back for the Stars last night. Scores four goals for the Stars last night, but that was not enough. Seattle wins again. And the one thing I've learned about the playoffs, and we make a big deal about this every year, home ice advantage in the Stanley Cup playoffs means absolutely nothing. I mean, it means nothing.
Nah, it means something in basketball. It doesn't mean much at all in hockey. I mean, it felt like it meant a ton in the Stanley Cup final in 2017, you know?
Yeah.
But usually I don't think it does. You know, another thing going on in the sports world, so we had the Miami Hurricanes and Florida Atlantic in the Final Four. Now we got the Panthers doing what they're doing.
Yep.
Now we got the Heat doing what they're doing. Is this enough for anyone who actually lives down there to notice that there are sports teams in the area?
I might actually show up to some games. I don't know. That's a good question.
The Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, like it's been pretty good run down there. Like South Florida,
that's the other side of the state.
Right. Yeah. South Florida in particular, like, not a great sports time. Like, even, you know, I'm a Heat fan, and I've been to some Heat games. Not a great crowd down there, but a lot of success down there, Joe. A lot of success.
It's weird.
Yeah, I know.
It's the new Boston.
Yeah, I don't even think they know what to do with it down there. So we'll see if they can keep that going. We got a lot to get to on the Titans front today as well. Nice of Mike Vrabel to catch up with Chase and Michelle yesterday. Really good stuff there.
Yeah.
Joe, what'd you think of what Vrabel had to say yesterday on Chase and Michelle? By the way, if you missed it, check out the Chase and Michelle podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you know, it's over, and then Chase makes a joke about Vrabel swearing, and I'm like, wait, Vrabel said a naughty word? I didn't know. Was that Keezer producing?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, man, that's such a seamless job of producing. I did not notice that he said a bad word and that got dumped.
Well, that's the idea.
I know. But a lot of times you do, right? Like a lot of times it's just this abrupt, like, whoa, why did it go to there? You know, yeah. Like, wait, what happened? What did I miss? I didn't have that. I didn't detect that. So I'm assuming Vrabel, that was his intentional attempt to try to get us an FCC violation, get us off the air.
Maybe so. Don't know.
He didn't even stutter. It was just, yeah. It just flew, kept going. It flowed naturally.
Yeah. Now, honestly, we know that
Vrabel can be a wordsmith at times, Joe, as you've pointed out.
Yeah, well, and you know what? That word should be fine anyway. I mean, honestly, fine, the F word shouldn't be allowed, but everything else should be fine, right?
Probably not.
Other than that, I was enthralled by the interview.
Yes, I'm sure.
He was so excited.
He was very excited,
as
the tradition continues of Mike Vrabel being very excited to discuss the inner workings of his football team with the media. I think we learned that firsthand yesterday, Joe. It was good stuff.
You know, next time, whenever that is, it should just be told, like, just ask him, like, what his favorite romantic comedy is and stuff like that, you know? just see if it's a totally off the wall question will spark him, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Like, we've talked about this before. He's got a really good personality, you know, in some forms, in like some occasions. Media's usually not one of them. When he wants to show it, he's got a good personality. But rarely does that come across in a press conference and or an interview setting. I'll put it that way.
Do you have your favorite soundbite from the interview, Michelle?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, we'll get to that coming up.
Okay.
Here in a little while.
Oh, in a little while?
Yeah, we'll get to that coming up here in a little while. But looking forward to that. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. By the way, Gunner on the text line with a question for you, Joe. Joe, can you please explain to Jared on Jared versus Joe that if Levis threw a pick at the Tennessee 10 and it was returned to the Kentucky 35, the ball wasn't thrown at Levis's own 10. Good grief, he sent a screenshot trying to back himself. It just made himself look more Stillman. This is from Gunner on the text line. So I guess Jared's saying that if you throw an interception at the 35-yard line at the Tennessee 10, I don't know what Gunner's trying to say there.
Yeah, I'm totally lost, Gunner. Like, I missed whatever this is. So I'll try to catch up on what the heck you're talking about.
Well, this is 2 weeks of you kind of built up energy with Jared versus Joe today. We didn't do the Jared versus Joe last week because we had our nice NFL draft schedule or show before the draft took place, which ended up being totally accurate. Oh, people go back and look at that. But 2 weeks of pent up energy with Jared versus Joe. Going to be fun today. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Jared needs a win as usual. But is Jared Gunner to ask Gunner the question? Is this a ripping Levis? Is this a excusing Levis? Like what's the argument here?
Yeah, it's a great question. Gunner, hit us up.
Let me know, Gunner. Yeah. Let me know.
615-737-1025. Speaking of Will Levis, we've talked a lot about him, obviously, in the aftermath of the pick. My question now is, as the Titans move forward, whether he's starting this year or more likely next year, what do we think are tools that he brings to the table where this could work? Because we've discussed this, Joe. Like, for Rand Carthon, for Mike Vrabel, for the Titans as an organization, this is who you're going with. You've drafted him in the second round, and Carthon and Vrabel specifically, in my opinion, are going to be tied to Will Levis now. If Will Levis is very successful, obviously, that's going to mean good things for Carthon and Vrabel. If he's not successful, I mean, we see this all the time. Rand Carthon talked about it when he was first hired here. People get hired and fired all the time in the NFL based off the quarterback position. And now the Titans have married themselves to Will Levis, taking him in the second round here. So as you look at the outlook here for the Titans and the future, whenever it is that he takes over as quarterback, which is, in my opinion, latest case for that would happen would be 2024. As you watch him play, as you digest all of the information that we know about Will Levis in the pre-draft process, and now that we've looked more into Will Levis since the Titans have drafted him, build a case for Will Levis to be the right guy for the Tennessee Titans. We're going to get into that coming up next as well. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and Will Levis. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
You draft Will Levis in the second round, and something that you had mentioned when he came in is you guys looked at the film and some of his mistakes that he made when he was at Kentucky, and I always feel like you learn more about you learn more from your mistakes than you do your successes. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I never mentioned that. I think somebody else did. I never did, but.
Well, okay. Was that a part of the process?
I think that might. Yes, it was. If you're asking me the question, yes. But I never said that. That's what I did. So, but yeah, we went through that with Tim. Tim and I had him put together, a presentation of a defense that from a game that we wanted from the last couple years. Talk us through the game plan. Talk us through the different concepts. What he liked against certain coverages. Most of the stuff that we would do with quarterbacks, but then I'd ask them to, put together things where he put the ball in harm's way.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday on Chase and Michelle. Nice back and forth there between Vrabel and Chase.
Get it right, buddy.
When that started, I couldn't help but laugh. It was really good stuff yesterday from Vrabel. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, where was that initially,
Albert
by the way?
Breer.
Breer. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Eh, whatever, Chase. Yeah.
Terror went over my face during that back and forth.
You're in the neighborhood, and I'm sure Vrabel would love to be confused with a media person.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's basically the same level of respect.
That's right. 615-737-1025. I laid it out there looking at Will Levis. As you gather in all the information that we know about him looking forward here, trying to build the case that he is the right guy and that he could be the answer for this team at quarterback moving forward, and that the Titans may have found their franchise quarterback for the next 7, 8, 10, 12, however many years you want to attach to it. As you start to look at Will Levis and build that case around him, what stands out to you about Will Levis that makes you think the Titans may have found their franchise quarterback?
Well, first of all, I guess I could just take, if there was such thing as like a Mel Kiper wind-up doll right now, I would just crank it, pull the string. Will Levis is the greatest quarterback in the draft. Yeah, I'm not nearly as good as Caroline Fenton at Mel Kiper. And by the way, since I'm making fun of Mel Kiper, I see the movement out there for Mel Kiper to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Absolutely, he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, in my mind.
Let's do it.
He created this. He created this draft insanity 40 years ago. Good for him, with some awful takes too. But hey, you do draft stuff enough,
you're gonna have some doozies.
You're gonna have some doozies and like dozens of them. But I don't think the case that he could be great is hard to make. I think first of all, he has all the physical attributes. He's very athletic. I think one thing that if you watched Will Levis last year that you probably missed, is the athleticism. Again, when he was at Penn State, and Penn State's offense is very different. I mean, basically, Sean Clifford was also kind of a running back first at times, quarterback second. But that's certainly what Levis was, he was their explosive running guy when he got on the field. And that's kind of what. I mean, by everything I've read, and I'm trying to connect with some people this week to do something in the written form, but he kind of blew people away with his talent once he got to Kentucky. But also, I think a big case to make for him is that he's a team captain like a weekend. It's actually so much like the Josh Heupel story at Oklahoma. Like transfer comes in, no one knows who the heck he is, and it's like a weekend, it's like, oh yeah, this guy's a captain. I mean, and that's what's interesting about with Levis, the outside perception of the personality, the, you know, the social media stuff and the brashness or whatever that people don't like. If your teammates love you, then that's, I mean, that means a ton, sure, obviously. And I think from the intangible standpoint, it sounds really good. And I mean, again, he can make all the throws, as they say. He is athletic enough to escape the pocket and be a threat with his legs. And it's just a question of like, can you clean things up? You know, I mean, and also, of course, the, you know, Chase asked that question about the going through his interceptions, taking care of the ball, all that stuff. I mean, those guys talked about it that night. They were making the case for him that right after they drafted him, about how different Kentucky was one year to the other, how much of it was on him, how much was it on other things, that whatever that is, at some point, like, you obviously have to clean that stuff up. We also remember, like, Ryan Tannehill in one of his 4 years here as quarterback randomly was just throwing picks all over the place too.
Yep.
And, you know, and I mean, ultimately it is on him, but there is a lot that goes into it. I think all of the tools are certainly there. And I think the biggest probably misperception is that personality thing. Like, if other teams hate him, other fans hate him, people on social media hate him, if he's liked in the building and he goes about things the right way, who cares?
Yeah, well, we've talked about this. Like, if he plays well and, you know, other teams hate him and, you know, other or their fan bases hate him and all those things, like, Titans fans, even if you're a Titans fan that is out on the Will Levis decision, like, if he plays well, you're going to eventually love all that stuff about Will Levis because he's your guy and because he's,
oh yeah,
you know when you're, you know, I think back to, and it's much different because the circumstances are different and the personalities I think are way different. But like when Marcus like stiff armed Barry Church with Jacksonville and like the fan base just went crazy, like Will Levis, like if he did something like that, you know, he'd get up probably like barking in somebody's face. Like, you're going to love that if you're a Titans fan, if he's playing well. Now, if he's not playing well, that's really what perception comes from at the NFL, right? Like, if they're your team and you're playing well, then a lot of what you do, you're going to like. We talk about this with the coaching demeanor too, right? Like, when it comes to an NHL head coach, we've had this discussion about, like, John Hines. Like, people say that he doesn't show enough emotion on the bench. Well, if you're winning, that's a strength for you. If you're losing, then all of a sudden you need to show more emotion. That's what it really ultimately comes down to.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You mentioned Marcus. I don't think there's any doubt. Although Vrabel, yeah, didn't really verbalize it. Now, other people did. DeMarco Murray after he left, and Eric Decker after he left. I don't think there's any question that Marcus is, because that instance you pointed out, it stood out because he usually never said anything to anybody, yep, right? And so look, Vrabel played with Tom Brady. The ultimate to me, brash, talking trash, you know, you hate him, punchable face, but he just beat you again, guy, right? And I don't think Vrabel liked that Mariota was not as vocal as he should have been, and so Tannehill was much better. But I think the way Levis goes about things on the field, he does not, his voice is heard, and I think that's absolutely a check mark on the positive for Vrabel. I mean, who's the, like, who would be the most, like, punchable faces among quarterbacks in the NFL right now?
Rodgers?
Maybe.
Yeah, but I don't feel like Rodgers. I don't know. I mean, I think that's off the field stuff because he's so annoying and he's such a tension monger. But like on the field, the other team, obviously the other team hates Rodgers because he beats him. But like, you know what I mean? He's not like, Brady was more that to me.
Yeah, I mean, like Baker Mayfield. Philip
Rivers. Philip Rivers was more that.
Oh, yeah, Philip Rivers, right. Baker, sure. Baker's that, Baker's but a, Baker's not Baker's good enough to really, you know.
Right. When he was good, Baker was the ultimate example of that. Oh, yeah. Yes. We got to be forgetting somebody. I mean, sometimes Derek Carr, maybe a little bit like that. I don't think there's enough punchable faces in the NFL. If Will Levis gets good, he will be a punchable face in the NFL, man. Oh, you know, yeah. like I mean, he will rub people the wrong way. But again, great. That's what you want You know, if you're a Titans fan, I gotta bring this up because I'm so confused right now.
Okay.
So, oh, and of course I've lost it now. Okay. So wait a minute. Now, according to the Jared show, the only thing Will Levis brings to the table is his mother, sister, and girlfriend. To be fair, that is a trio of a smoke show. Those are Chuck's words, not mine.
Okay.
And then LD from McMinnville says, when discussing Levis, Jared had brought up McNair and Marino comparisons. If he's a mixture of both, Titans fans should be extremely happy.
Yeah, I think they'll take that.
So Chuck's saying that Jared said that Will Levis brings nothing to the table, and LD says he said that he's McNair and Marino? Are we just talking absolute insanity on his show? Like, I don't get it. Does he think he's good or not?
Those are two very, very polarizing extremes there, my friend. Very extremes.
You'll find out tonight, Joe.
Yeah.
I get maybe. Yeah, we'll have to clear this up. Someone says Jimmy G. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't think Jimmy G really is that punchable.
Jeff from Hendersonville says Russell Wilson. What about that one?
Eh, I don't think so. I've never thought that, really.
No. He's just kind of weird sometimes. But again, that's more off the field stuff, the birthday parties and all that.
His anonymous that no one listens to wife, whose music no one listens to, had some birthday party or people got mad.
That is major disrespect to Sierra. She's known by first name only.
But yeah, on the field, I'm sorry, I had to get that in. I'm still mad about the Warriors.
Yes.
On the field, I don't think that really applies. There's got to be someone else we're forgetting about.
Well, Zach from Nashville has supplied a list for us on the text line. It says, quarterback punchable face rankings, literally, Zach Wilson, Baker Mayfield, Aaron Rodgers, and Jared Goff. Quarterback punchable face rankings because they're good, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, and then Aaron Rodgers. So Rodgers make both of his lists.
Yeah, Cousins isn't punchable. Back off Cousins.
Yeah, he's up on Joe's guy.
Zach Wilson, if he was good, he'd be number one with a bullet. Zach Wilson would be absolutely number one, not even close. And he actually is still very punchable, even though he doesn't play.
Kyler?
Okay.
He could be on that.
If he played good.
Yeah, kind of, I guess. I mean, I think Wentz can kind of, and then of course there's been Wentz Levis comparison. I think what we're actually coming across here, and I still at some point want you guys to weigh in on my quarterback rankings, which are exactly accurate, but I think what we're coming across here is this league needs more punchability at the quarterback position. I think Will Levis can provide it,
especially now with Brady gone. I mean, he's gone. He was the guy.
I do think Mahomes and I guess Allen too, like, just because they're so good. I mean, Mahomes is. But it's again.
But
for
he doesn't
me,
ever say anything.
Like, yeah, usually he's more just celebrating with his teammates and stuff like that. Yeah, like Baker is absolutely the quintessential. If he were good, still. No, this league needs more.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on Will Levis and the Titans coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Now, this is from the Elway to Marino documentary on 30 for 30. This is Marvin Dimoff, the agent for both Elway and Marino, talking about the fact that Dan Marino's senior season wasn't as good as his junior season, which led him to fall in the draft. Where Will Levis was coming into it, he was part of the discussion with C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, and all of a sudden, when push came to shove, we don't make a big deal about the fact that Alabama didn't get to the playoff and didn't win a national championship with Bryce Young as their quarterback, which is what every Alabama quarterback seems to have been able to do.
That was Jared Stillman yesterday on Stillman and Company. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on our text line. Joe, a lot of votes for Joe Burrow as punchable face on the text line.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting one. I'm sure if you're a Browns fan, or a Steelers fan or something, you'd believe that. And the thing is, he should be, because he looks like freaking Macaulay Culkin from Home Alone, right?
He does.
But I don't know. I feel like he pretty much just goes about his business on the field. One that was brought up, Philip Rivers, we did talk about that earlier, but one that was brought up who was absolutely elite, and locally people know him well, Jay Cutler was elite. I'm sure as a Packers fan, you totally agree with that.
Well, he didn't have a whole lot of success against them, but yes, I agree.
Right. Just imagine if he did.
I know.
Elite punchability right there. So according to a texter, which I've lost, because apparently punchability has also really sparked the folks today.
It has.
So apparently Jared was arguing against this stupid thing with like his mom and wife and sister. So Rich Gannon said he should have brought just one of them.
I don't know.
It's his mom, it's sister, and then girlfriend. What are we talking about here? What's wrong with people?
This is a conversation that I have not been privy to. I didn't know this was a thing out
there. That's ridiculous.
I mean, if we're going to start talking about, you know, stuff like that, can I just bring up that Jessica Alba last night was at the Knicks game? And, yeah.
Well, there you go. A lot of people at the Knicks game last
night. She's trending today. She's trending today on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Apparently, she's still 25. Okay.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. So, you know, I look at the Will Levis situation. We talked about kind of the demeanor attached with it, and I said it yesterday. I kind of like that. Like, I like the quarterback to have a little bit of an edge to him. And look, I'm not saying that he's Tom Brady or that he's Aaron Rodgers, but I mean, those guys, they have a little bit of an edge to them. And look, every quarterback to a certain degree kind of has a different style. Like Peyton Manning didn't spend a whole lot of time out there, you know, talking to the other team. So it's not like a necessary requirement that you got to have. But I like the quarterback having a little edge to it. I mean, I watched Levis play. And like I said, I mean, it doesn't take a football genius to watch him play and realize he's got a heck of an arm. He's got a lot of physical traits that he brings to the table. And really, I mean, the athleticism you brought up, I think, is kind of an underrated part of him, just because, like you said, he was going through injuries last year and he couldn't really put that on display as much as he did the year before that. So, you know, at the end of the day, is that the most important thing with a quarterback? No. Like, you need to be able to stand in the pocket, make the proper read, make the right throws, not turn the football over. That's the biggest concern with Will Levis to me. But how many times have we seen a Mahomes or even a Burrow? Like a Burrow, I mean, Burrow, nobody talks about like, oh, Joe Burrow's super athletic back there. But we've seen him scamper out of there on occasion and make some big plays and big games and big moments with his feet. Like the modern quarterback position, I think you have to be able to do that a little bit. I'm not saying that you got to be, you know, Michael Vick back there, but you got to be able to move around a little bit, and Will Levis certainly brings that to the table.
Well, how many quarterbacks anymore? Like, well, it's funny because Marino gets brought up, right? Marino was the absolute definition of statue in the pocket. The ball's out super fast.
Yep.
He never got sacked in some of those years between good protection and just the fact that he got the ball out, but zero, you know, creation with his legs at all. It was nothing. And there used to be a lot more quarterbacks like that in the NFL who were successful. I mean, there are, you look around the league now, look at this draft. I mean, Stroud, the biggest knock on Stroud, my biggest knock is he's never going to have receivers like he did at Ohio State on an NFL team. You know, it's hard to evaluate that. But the biggest knock is that he doesn't run enough. He did in the Georgia game, made a huge difference. But that's a big knock. I mean, all these other, look, I mean, Young, not a burner, but great ability to escape and extend plays.
Yep.
Obviously, Richardson and Levis both. That's a big part of why they are, they were regarded the way they were, although they end up going to very different spots. But that was the conversation. It's so hard anymore. And then in recent years, look at all the quarterbacks. I mean, just about all of them. I think Burrow is probably the biggest example of more of a pocket guy, but Herbert, Allen, Mahomes, Hurts. You pretty much, you're going to see in
Fields.
This league. Sure. I mean, if he were good, yeah.
Yeah, but he could throw for 150 yards, yes.
I hate you guys so much.
No, I mean, he is like, we'll see what he becomes. But yeah, exactly. That's a huge part. And that's why he's still a starting quarterback now. you know, granted, bad supporting cast, but the reason that he's still effective enough to win some games and give you some hope is that he's an outrageous runner, right? So, yeah, like the Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff. I mean, there's two examples of guys who are successful in this league who don't have that, yep. But you don't find too many anymore.
Well, that's the thing. Like, quarterbacks coming into the league now, there's being able to move is a big part of their game. I mean, and again, it's never going to be the most important thing. Like, you've always got to be able to stand in the pocket, hang in there, and make throws. But, like, you know, even Kenny Pickett last year, like, he went in the first round. Like, he can move. Like, he's not a statue back there. I mean, heck, he's perfected the fake slide, for goodness sake. We know that Kenny Pickett can move around a little bit. So, that's just the way that the modern quarterback position is played. Like, Mahomes, nobody's going to confuse Patrick Mahomes as, like, a burner out there. But how many times have we seen Mahomes, specifically with the Titans, just burn the Titans with the way that he can move?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have an almost perfect defensive game against him and that offense, and then what does it come down to? It comes down to that. You have them – I don't know that you have them beat. I mean, that's saying a little bit much. But I'd love to see how the AFC Championship game plays out, if not for that ridiculous play where the Titans decided not to tackle him.
Yeah.
But it was also him, you know, doing crazy things. He doesn't run a ton, but he has that ability. And that's the thing with Levis is that, and I think that people who, if they really started tuning in on him this year, miss because you had the toe, you had the shoulder, and you had the, what was the third injury? I can't even keep track of all his injury. He had a third injury too. That was lower body, to use a hockey explanation. So, I mean, basically that was taken out of his game. Go watch 2021 film. It was a big, big part of his game. Again, that's what he was at Penn State. He's a running back, you know, running back playing quarterback. So that's one of the reasons that I think he has a chance. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's got to be a big part of his game in the NFL.
Well, the other part that kind of ties into that I really like about him is the size. 6'4", 230. That's what he's listed at. I mean, that's really good size as a quarterback. I mean, you know, unlike the people who think that your guy Bryce Young is just going to get blown over out there by the wind, they don't have those concerns about Will Levis. So that automatically means that Will Levis is better, right?
Pretty much, yes. Now that he's here, you know, I, as I recall, I think he was my number one choice.
Yeah, yeah. The Homer.
Yeah, yes. Here on WHMO.
Yes, he's just automatically better. But in all seriousness, like I do like the size that he brings to the table. Now, does that automatically mean that you're durable? No. Does that automatically mean that, you know, you can just run over people at the NFL level? No. And we've seen that's the one thing too. Like at this position in the NFL, like we saw Will Levis in college. You know, the one thing that we've talked about with Tannehill a lot too is you got to know when to get down and when to avoid those contacts. And Will Levis was not really looking to get down at college. He was kind of barreling his head through and running over people at the goal line. And look, you like that, it fires you up as a quarterback, but also like this is the NFL and he's going to have to learn how to slide.
That's why like the Titans fan base they'll end up loving him if he plays decently because he's going to do stuff like that. Right now but like you said, you got to be smart about it, but that's absolutely who he is. Competitive toughness. Again, that's the term Dane Brugler used. He loves that stuff. He likes to take a linebacker on. He might be able to play linebacker. Those are all things that, one, a team rallies around, fan base rallies around. So those are good, again, if he plays well, except, yes, in this league, it will get you hurt. And Tannehill at times is, you know, even Mariota at times. You mentioned the Barry Church play.
Yep.
And that's basically where he showed his intensity was sometimes on, you know, plays like that running the football.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So there is one quarterback in particular that we've heard compared to Will Levis a lot, both in the pre-draft kind of part of this and also since the Titans have taken him as well. But there may be another quarterback that is relevant as well in that discussion that people have brought up lately too. We'll get into all that as well. Take more of your thoughts on Will Levis and the Titans, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Ford's Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes as well. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on Will Levis, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And, Joe, we talked a lot about Will Levis in the pre-draft process, and a comp that kept coming up really nationwide as Will Levis was being discussed was Josh Allen. Like, he's got the size, he's got the physical tools. The numbers in college were inconsistent, turnovers, accuracy, and the like. Now, I would say that Will Levis is probably a little bit more accurate than Josh Allen was coming out of college there. But Josh Allen, a pretty universal comparison as to what he could be. And obviously, you know, one of the things that we've talked about with Josh Allen is just the stark difference in how he began his career and what he looked like and now what he's grown into. I mean, we remember watching Josh Allen play really for the first couple of years in Buffalo and said, I don't know. Like, the accuracy just isn't there. Looks like he's kind of arm punting the ball out there. And then all of a sudden he became one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And now the question is that just kind of an outlier, or is that going to start to become more of a thing in the NFL? And there's an interesting article on The Ringer kind of highlighting that with Anthony Richardson and Will Levis. It also brings up another quarterback in this discussion, which we'll get to here in just a few minutes. But the Josh Allen comparison to Will Levis, what do you think of that comparison as it relates to kind of the task that is now in front of the Titans as to rounding his game into form to be ready for the NFL level?
Yeah, well, I think that physically they have similar, you know, talents. Now, Josh Allen is maybe the most, as far as good quarterbacks in the NFL, I don't know that I can recall a more short yardage power like runner than him. Yep. You know what I mean? He's a load, but I think there are definitely some parallels. And I will say that right now, Will Levis, as with everybody who comes into the league, even though we're talking here on WHMR, you know, the likelihood is that he won't be what people hope he is, because most quarterbacks aren't. But I feel better about Will Levis right now than I did about Josh Allen. I feel better about Will Levis right now than I felt about Josh Allen 2 years into his NFL career. So he's the ultimate example. But this piece is really interesting by Steven Ruiz, because I kind of hadn't thought about it in these terms, but he's right. You know, if you think about it, yeah, Levis and Richardson are the latest in this. It's kind of a trend. Allen, to me, is still absolutely the example. But, I mean, as he points out, if you really look at the last 10 years, like quarterbacks where people were like, yeah, like there's nothing to nitpick. I mean, not that there wasn't some nitpicking, but there wasn't much. And they both went number one, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
Okay. So look at the list that he has. So this is what he said. I'll just quote this paragraph. Quote, those other guys got to their respective teams as heavily scrutinized prospects with flaws like reckless decision-making, Mahomes, inaccuracy, Allen, or processing issues, Justin Herbert. They were widely seen as projects, guys that needed fixing. And yet those five and the other two he mentioned were Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts. We'll combine to make about $1 billion over the next decade, and deservedly so. And Herbert is the one, just for me, and maybe this is just a me issue, certainly could be. I totally forgot about that, but he was so polarizing. Like, I think because he came in right away and was like, oh, yep, yeah, he's a dude. He yep. is good. That you kind of forget that. But Herbert, people were all over the map on Justin Herbert. There were people who were like, he should not go this high in the draft. Like, he's a mess. And then there are people like, the talent is just, it's way too good. You're wrong. And those people obviously end up being right. Again, I'm not saying Will Levis is Justin Herbert here on WHMR. But there's also some parallels with skill set, accuracy. It's interesting that this is, Ruiz writes this with processing issues, you know, the processing thing, and it is encouraging to me. The Titans do have the information. And I think it means something. You know, Levis scored a 93 on the S2.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's got to mean something. The accuracy part is interesting because, like I said, like I think Levis's numbers would suggest that the accuracy is way less of a big deal with him than it was with like a Josh Allen coming out. Like, you know, 2021, he completed 66% of his passes. He completed 65% of his passes last year. Now, having said that, I think you and I would both agree that you watch him play, and specifically when it comes to some of the turnovers, it's like he's holding on maybe a little bit too long, and he lets it go maybe a little bit too late, and all of a sudden you're turning the ball over that way. So that part of it's interesting because like the numbers would tell you that accuracy is really not a problem, like 66%, 65%, pretty good completion percentages. But there are plays that he makes and plays that he doesn't make sometimes too where you watch it and you're like, yeah, I don't know. It's a little bit late coming from Levis. And obviously, you know, that's in the SEC. This is now the NFL where it's going to be even faster. How quickly can you adjust to that if you're Will Levis?
Yeah, and I thought that was a huge thing in Knoxville. And they were all over him. But it was like, man, he had someone and he let it go late. Now there's a pick. I mean, he was a mess. They were a mess. The thing is, and Vrabel talked about this on draft night. Yes, you're going from SEC to NFL, but obviously your hope is you don't support him relative to the competition, anything near what Kentucky did or didn't do last year.
Right.
And you know, like Barry and Brown is going to be a very good player for Kentucky, but when you're relying as heavily as they did on two freshman receivers to go with the offensive line issues, I mean, you can see how it was just terrible timing for Kentucky to have him, but then to have such issues around him and not really be able to take advantage of what he can do.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Lee in Nashville. Lee, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. The one thing, all purposes saying, I love it, definitely to pay my pick, but now that he is a Titan, I think the thing that nobody really is talking about is if they do hit on him being a second-round pick, I mean, that does allow you to build a better team around him because his contract is going to be a little more friendly than the team for the first, you know, 3-4 years. Just like it makes me think of Jalen Hurts, right? Philadelphia has been able to build so many good players around Jalen Hurts because his contract, until this year, you know, recently when they had an extension, but before that, yeah, I think that's one thing that if the Titans, if they did hit on Levis, it could potentially be a game changer for them from a financial perspective of being able to add some really quality players, free agents or whoever, to build up the team quicker than maybe that most of us think they can. So that's one thing I've been thinking about since, you know, everything's happened with the draft.
Yep, thanks for calling, Lee. We appreciate it. So, I mean, that is an interesting point that he brings up. I mean, he's a second-round player, so the money obviously is not the same as him going 11 overall or the Titans moving up to number 6 or whatever it would be to go get him. Now, the other side of that coin, Joe, is let's say he is really good and that he is every bit the player that they want him to be. Well, you also now don't have the fifth-year option, and you got to get to that next contract a year sooner than you would with the fifth-year option in place.
Right. But, yeah.
But you take that together. Things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you go through the numbers, I don't have them in front of me. We'll get to that. That's a good point. Because if you want to go through like what Richardson will make in his 4 years, I know we always think rookie deals are so cheap, but like there's still a big difference in how much the Colts are going to pay Richardson and how much the Titans are going to pay Levis in the next few years.
Yeah, no question. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on Will Levis coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.